एवं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम गुंड राधा गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनामाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की ओर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमः विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूदेले श्रीमदे भक्तवेदांत स्वामी निधि नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिनां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कृतिनां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धरामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायवत्रनेत्र ये त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितोज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीताम्बुदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदोगावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दना पार्थो वत्सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महद् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणदडाजयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोल्पल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामाविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशव पाराशर्यवज सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिगदा सम्बोधनाभोदितं लोकैः सज्जनशल्पदैरहरः पीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्कुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्नन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्दं न विदसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द So, this Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yoga, what it is called, which is the divisions of faith. Basically, Krishna is saying that one should have Shraddha. Shraddha is means another form of bhakti is beginning is Shraddha. In the beginning stage, it's called a Shraddha. Later on, it becomes bhakti. So, you will see this, everybody is talking about this. Tulsidas also said, Ramacharita Manasami says, Parvati Parameshwarau, then addressing Sri Parvati and Lord Shiva, Tulsidas praying to them for bhakti and Shraddha. Bhavani Shankarau Vande. Tulsidas says, Bhavani Shankarau Vande for Shraddha. Then similarly, Kalidas prays the same thing. Bhagavata Ivasamprutto Vagartha Pradipatyo Jagadra Pidarav Vande Parvati Parameshwarav. They are also addressing for Shraddha. Basically what it means is the words and its meaning, you cannot separate them. The words and its meaning cannot be separated. Right? It, in the similar way, Shraddha and faith, Shraddha and faith, they are not two different things.
If Shraddha is there, faith is there. They are one and the same thing. For example, we have the choice to believe, to have faith in Krishna or not. That choice is up to us, right? People believe in things what they think is important. That's their Shraddha. You can see that in the world also, outside. Basically, a lot of people have so much faith in the politics, isn't it? They think that their politics is the right one. Some people call it as liberal. Somebody says left, somebody says right. All this is their faith in that system. In different types of faith, people have built up like this, right? And they have that bhakti towards their faith in the same way. So that is also another form of bhakti. Only thing is, instead of towards Krishna, their bhakti has gone in the wrong direction, towards a certain dogma or due to a certain political philosophy. In that way, their Shraddha has gone in that direction. Right? So if it comes towards Krishna, then it uplifts them spiritually. So if this faith, what they have shown now, what they show towards the politicians, political leaders, and heads of state and all that, when they have that faith in them, if they had similar faith towards Ishvara, Krishna, then a truthfulness, vairagyam, renunciation, and satyanishtha, steadiness in truthfulness, and dharmam, all these things would have come to them, but that didn't happen to them because it's in the wrong place, right? So this thing called Shraddha is a very powerful thing in everybody, right? It's like a strong influence inside, urge inside, that makes a person to believe in something. That's called Shraddha, right? So imagine if a thing happens like this kind of Shraddha, happens to a whole society, but in the wrong way, what will happen? There will be chaos. There will be so much trouble in the world. It's not. When a whole population, their Shraddha turns into something wrong, wrong ideology or wrong principles, it can develop into a disaster in the world. Right? So everything is Shraddha at the end. If the Shraddha of the ordinary people in politics and ideology, things like that, that leads them to revolutions and things like that, and happens from that, or kind of, turmoil all over the world. So everything is Shraddha. So, but if the same Shraddha, what they have in their ideologies, if it comes towards truthfulness, satyam, dharmam, and sacrifice, tyagam, vairagyam, in that case, it will be very beneficial to the whole society, right? So, for us it is obviously about a general class of people, we can't do anything about it, right? So, that is why in that Devi Mahalpim, the prayer is like this. Ya Devi Sarvabhudeshu Shraddharupena Samsthida. That whatever Shraddha I have, let that be towards you, it says. Not towards all the other useless philosophies which will create trouble for others. Yadevi sarvabhudeshu, one who is present in everyone. Shraddha rubena samsida. And that Shraddha is Sri Parvati's manifestation. Yadevi sarvabhudeshu Shraddha rubena samsida. Namastase, 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 namo nama. I offer my obeisances to her. Yeah. So one who is present in everyone, Yadevi, in the form of this, Shraddha is also as a personal form. Shraddha Devi, she is nothing but a manifestation of Sri Parvati. Shraddha Devi is a manifestation of Sri Parvati. And that is why it is said that Shraddha, so one who has that, wherever his Shraddha is, Krishna said that, isn't it? Shraddha Mayoyam Purusha. He said, Shraddha is that person. A person is not the gross body or any other thing, senses, subtle body. actually it is his Shraddha, that's what he is, where he is. Right? Therefore they say, Yadrishi Yadrishi Shraddha Siddhar Bhavati Tadrishi. Another statement in the Upanishad. Yadrishi Yadrishi Shraddha. Where your Shraddha is, that will be where you will become perfect. Siddhar Bhavati Tadrishi. So, according to your Shraddha, according to that, your Siddhi also, your perfection. Right? So, according to the Shraddha, you will be fascinated to a particular thing. Anything in this world. Some people towards music, some people towards sports, some people towards politics, some people towards business. Different things in this world, because their Shraddha is there. So, that is what it's saying there. Yadrishi, Yadrishi, Shraddha, Siddhir Bhavati, Sadrishi. So, similarly, if the Shraddha is towards Bhakti, Jnanam, Vairagyam, Self-Realization, and all these things, then what will happen is, the Chittam, your consciousness, also the awareness, will become more and more focused, Egagrada. Concentration will come there, right? And in a very easy way, with not much of a difficulty, your Chittam, Vasanas, everything will enter into self-inquiry about self-realization or inquiring about the truth. Our mind will naturally go in that direction, right? So, similarly in the Bhakti Margam also, if your Shraddha is there, then the attention in chanting the holy name, or you won't have much difficulty in developing that strength, Shraddha, in that way, right? So, then people won't complain, I cannot chant. People complain sometimes that I can't chant because I am not able to focus on anything. That's because the Shraddha is not there. If Shraddha comes, naturally you'll be able to chant without any difficulty, right? So, it is through the power of the Shraddha only that Valmiki Maharshi, he had Shraddha, but he could not chant Rama Rama. So Radha Maharshi told him, you chant Maramara. And he chanted Maramara, but the Shraddha was there. Therefore, he became Valmiki Maharshi later. All due to the power of that Shraddha. Many, many great personalities, only through the power of Shraddha, they became very powerful, very elevated souls in this world. Many great personalities, through the power of Shraddha, they got elevated. Right? Shraddha, everybody has a Shraddha, but Shraddha is like a crude oil. You see in the refinery, when they bring the oil from the ground first, it is in the very crude oil, right? Gradually they keep refining it and it makes it useful for better purposes. For example, the crude oil that comes from the refinery, in the refinery, that's what they do. They refine it and refine it and refine it. And when it becomes a very highly purified, it becomes useful for aeroplanes, aviation fuel, or for the rockets to fire, things like that. Otherwise, in a lower level, lower grade, it is petrol, and still lower is a diesel. So, similarly, when the fuel is highly purified state, it is used for rocket propulsion and all that, for propulsion of the rockets, right? So, ultimately, it is Shraddha. When Shraddha becomes stronger, it becomes capable. It makes us able to do things which we normally won't be able to do. Right? Similarly, in the same, this is just a comparison. Our Chittam also, in the same way, through tapasya, when the vasanas inside the Chittam completely gets cleared up, purified, it's like purifying the crude oil in the refinery. The Chittam has got vasanas, all kinds of vasanas inside. And when that vasana, through salsangam and through tapasya, it gets purified. Chittam gets purified, right? And it is not easy. It is going to take time. But through the power of salsangam and through its power of salsangam, it gets purified and then it becomes a Shraddha. That's how Shraddha builds up in us. Shraddha everybody has. But the only thing is the Shraddha is in the wrong place. But how to purify that Shraddha? through Salsangam, Japam, all these, tapasa, everything. Tapasa, Shraddha, Upanishad says this, tapasa, Shraddha, Shraddhaya, Medha, Medhaya, Manisha, Manisha's Manaha, Manaha, Shandihi. So, step by step, it comes like that. From Shandi, in the Shandi, when it comes from Manasa, Manasa becomes Shandi. So, Chittam, which is in the crude form inside in the subtle body, then Chittam becomes Shandi at the end, right? And when Shandi comes, next stage is self-realization called Surubaspradi. That's called Surubaspradi. So, Tapasa Shraddha. Tapas is required in everything. Shraddhaya Medha. Medhaya Manisha. Manishaya Manaha. Manaha Shandihi. From Shandi leads to self-realization. Upanishad says that. So, in this way, one becomes eligible for knowledge of the self, Atmajnanam, right? And that situation is very auspicious when you come to that level, right? So here Krishna is saying there how the Shraddha is important, how Shraddha is important. So, in the Vivekacharamani, it mentions that the Shraddha, what comes, Shraddha Bhakti Dhyana Yogatma Muksho Muktir Hedura Vakti Sakshal Shudegi Yova Ede Sheva Nishta Tishtasya Mukhya Mocho Vidya Kalpida He Avabdhad. He says here that Shruti, through this Shraddha Bhakti Dhyanam, Mumuchuho, for Mumuchu, one who has desire for self-realization, right, it leads into bhakti and that leads into mukti. So the process where it happens is that the faith, Shraddha, devotion, and these are all mentioned by Shruti as the immediate factors for liberation. If these things are there in a person, Shraddha, Bhakti, Mokshatvam, all those things, and who is abiding by that, he is eligible for freedom from this body, from the cycle of birth and death, right? So, Shraddha, Bhakti, Dhyanam. So, if Shraddha is in the mundane world, then your bhakti and your attachment towards those things will be there. In the mundane world, our Shraddha and bhakti has gone into that wrong direction, right? And we will meditate upon that. Mundane world, mundane happiness, mundane achievements, mundane recognition. All these mundane things will go inside us all the time, right? Similarly, if Shraddha goes into Antaryami inside, then whole thing changes inside. When the Shraddha is outside in the world, all mundane success will be inside. Wealth, name and fame, followers, all these kind of things will take over. But Shraddha is in the Antaryami inside, the whole game changes. So that will lead, if the Shraddha goes inside, the benefit is a dhyanam comes inside, a meditative mood develops inside always. In a mood of meditation, right? And samadhi sthiti, as they call it, right? Sometimes they call it as bhava samadhi or jnana samadhi and yoga samadhi. These are all different names used, but whichever may be the process, that samadhi state will come inside, right? All that happens due to Shraddha. So, that Shraddha, Krishna spoke about that in detail before, isn't it? When it comes to sadhana level, he spoke about importance of food first. Satyam, Rajasa, Tamasam, Krishna explained that. Satyam, right? And people, sometimes you see in the modern world, some people are very serious about naturopathy. You heard that? Naturopathy. They like to treat the body not through Ayurvedam, not through allopathy, But they have, there is naturopathy people. They say everything we should follow the natural way, by how the arrangements of the nature. Right? Even they say that they also require their association mutually. Why? Because continuously if they don't hear about that, they will fall into the mundane way of doing things. And that is why that is why they say like this, that the if you become a part of the society will influence you, even without your knowledge. What the society tells you, you will follow that. It is normal with people, everybody, right? So, so therefore these naturopathy people, they say that if we don't have association with each other, they will normally associate with other people and their habits will also change. Therefore, they are careful not to mix with the other people, rather mix with their own type of people, right? So, they require the support from their own people. In the same way, even in the matter of food, you require satsangam. Even for the food, eating habits, one requires satsangam. Otherwise, if you fall into other circles, you can be affected by that, right? When Shraddha becomes Satvigam, that becomes a cause for bhakti. That is what Krishna was saying there. In the 14th verse, he mentioned that, isn't it? Deva dvija guru pratya pujanam shaujam arjavam brahmacharyam ahimsa cha shariram tapam uchyate. Krishna began talking about the Shraddha as far as the food habits are concerned. Then he said that anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahidam chayat swadhyaya abhyasanam chayva vangmayam tapam uchyate. Next verse, right? So he mentioned about the Shraddha. Then he talked about the tapasya, what is required for that. For tapasya, jnanam, and tapasya, he mentioned that the tapasya of the body, and tapasya of the words, and tapasya of the mind, all tapasya, right? So, in all these things what Krishna has spoken, when we finish this chapter, you have to sit at home and think about these things, what Krishna has said, right? So, you will see Bhagavad Gita, this is important. Bhagavad Gita is like a mother. Bhagavad Gita is like a mother. Mahatma Gandhi also used to say that when I have trouble, I go to my mother, and the mother is Bhagavad Gita. And I look at Bhagavad Gita, somewhere I will find the answer. So, that is why in that prayers also, Parthaya Pradibodhidam Bhagavadam, Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gridhidam Purana Maninam Madhya Mahabharatam Advaidamrita Varshani Bhagavati Ashtadashadhyayinim Amba. Amba means mother. Amba Tvam Anusandhadami. Anusandhadami means I'm continuously following you to the mother, addressing the mother. Like the child goes to the mother when he has a problem. Isn't it? In the same way, that is what Ajari Swamiji mentions in that verse. Amba, Tvam, Anusandhadami. I continually follow you. Bhagavad Gita, Bhavadveshani. So, why Bhavadveshani? One who is capable of freeing us from the cycle of birth and death. That's what Bhagavad Gita is. What is capable of freeing us from the cycle of birth and death. Right? So, that is the Dhyana Shloka, meditation on the Bhagavad Gita. So, what it's saying is, how one should approach Bhagavad Gita. How one should approach Bhagavad Gita, right? So, in other words, one has to feel unhappy of not able to develop bhakti in the heart, right? So, like you can see in Saptaham times, they will carry Bhagavad Gita, Ramayanam, Upanishads and all that, covered with a cloth, and they will bring it to the stage, the Saptaham stage. You may have seen that in the YouTube videos and all that, right? So, they bring it on that head, the Bhagavad Gita or Ramayanam or whatever, spirit Bhagavadam, they'll bring it on the head and bring it. That respect for the Shastram, respect for the Shastram, right? So, Andatva Nisandhadami. So everywhere this bhakti is required. Bhakti is required. And some people say it's enough if I have bhakti inside, not necessary to come out, right? But that ardra bhavam, that heart should melt, feel that reverence for Shastram, reverence towards the Guru, reverence towards the Krishna, all these things. Gandhiji said, Bhagavad Gita is my mother, he said. So, when I have trouble, he had a lot of problems, isn't it? During the independence time, he had a lot of difficulties. The whole country was on fire, and so many problems, and the British government also didn't know what to do with Mahatma Gandhi. And Gandhiji at that time, he says that, when I had trouble, I'll go and sit next to Bhagavad Gita, he says. And I look at it. That's all I did, he said. And the problem is solved. So that is why people understand the power of Bhagavad Gita. That able to recite it every day, or reading it as and when time allows them, at least for some time, and that is a tapas. Krishna is saying there, swadhyayam. Vedam says swadhyayam, right? Purifies us. Therefore, our Shraddha has to come to Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, both of them, right? So, and we have to ask Krishna for that. Yadevi Shraddha, Shraddha, Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Shraddha Rupena Samsthita. All these qualities, they are all personalities. Shraddha Devi. Similarly, Buddhi Devi, Smriti Devi. And these things, Shraddha, Buddhi, Smriti, they are all important for Salsangam. In Salsangam, these three are very important, right? Shraddha also, plus Buddhi, plus Smriti. And Brahmi means, why they are important is, Brahmi means wrong way of knowing things. Wrong way of accepting things, right? That is called Brahmi or Brahmam. They call it like that. So that is why Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Nidra Rubena Samsthita. So when coming to Salsangam also, one should pray to Sri Parvati for giving these things. It is her expansions, all these different forms. Smriti, Buddhi, Shraddha, all of Brahmi, everything is her expansions only. So to give that strength, Shraddha and Smriti and Buddhi, so that Devata, they are present inside us. Only thing, she has to wake up. Right? If she wakes up, then the Shraddha Balam, the strength of Shraddha increases, in which case Srimad Bhagavatam will be revealed to us just like a fruit in the hand. Karadala Malakam, they call it. Just like a fruit in the hand, the Bhagavatam, the message of Bhagavatam will be revealed to us from inside if the Shraddha is there. Right? So, there was this famous devotee or the disciple of, his name was Anandagiri. Ajari Swami is one famous disciple, right? All his other disciples were highly learned in Shastram, very knowledgeable people, and very elevated souls they were, like Padmavada, Sureshwara, and Hasamalaga and all. If you read their history, you can see that what kind of personalities they were. Compared to them, this Anandagiri was not very intelligent. And so, Sureshwara Acharya is Mandana Mishra, who has come as Sureshwara later. And he already knew Vedam well and all the Shastram very well. And similarly, Padmavada was a great scholar. And apart from this, he had many other disciples as well. But and Sureshwara Acharya talks about that in the he says his bhakti was such that it says there. Yet Suprakasham Ahilalpaga Masushupte Egalpanaha Mahamity Aubhadi Nityam Buddhe Samastav Gridedara Vigari Bodhyam Tad Brahma Tattvamasi Kevala Bodha Matram. This is about Ajari Swamiji is writing this, who Sureshwara Acharya, Mandala Mishra says this, right? He says that you have disciples from Himalaya right up to Kanyakumari. And among them, this Anandagiri, he was a very insignificant person, right? And so he says here that due to the Sureshwara Acharya says about Acharya Swamiji that the sun has become moon because of the effect of your influence on them, that so they all became very famous because they were very intelligent people, all the Sureshwara, Padmavada and all that, right? Anandagiri didn't know anything. Anandagiri was a little bit dull and he has not studied Shastram very well. But somehow or the other, Acharya Swamiji had been traveling with all these disciples together, and with these disciples, when he was discussing with them Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literature as well. So he had a lot to do in a very short period of time. He left the world at 32. So in the while walking all over the country, he was compiling and the disciples were writing it down. So he traveled all over. At that time, Bharatam means current Pakistan, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, they were all together, one entity then. Right? It's only now after the independence and they cut it off into four or five pieces. But otherwise, it was one. You can imagine the size of the nation at that time. So, while traveling like that, the purpose of liberated souls traveling is this, that it's an opportunity that able to deliver many people on the way in their journey. And if realized souls, if they go and sit in one place without associating with the world, then what will happen to the people who have some desire for self-realization? So they get an opportunity to associate with the realized souls when they travel all around, right? Yoga Vasishtam will say this, right? They're saying that if one is qualified for self-realization, no matter where he is, the guru will come to him. He will get the guru, provided he is qualified for that, right? And this is necessary in this world. And for devotees also, or for people who are inclined in spiritual path, due to the journey or the travel of these mahalmas, due to that, or the temples, they all purify them, those people who are looking for self-realization, right? And their Shraddha, faith, Shraddha gets stronger. So, for example, little children, say 5-year, 10-year-old children, they don't know anything about spiritual life or anything. But when they see Mahatmas, that will stay in their mind. Yeah. There was one person, he, TRS, they call him, Sundaresha, that was his name. And he, when he was 9 years old, Paramacharya was walking all over. And in them days, there was no traffic like today, isn't it? Now everybody is too busy. In them days, everybody was walking or traveling by bullock carts or chariots and things like that. So when Paramacharya was walking somewhere, he went reached a village and he was camping in a house. By chance, this boy, Sundaresha, he went there and he was standing outside. Paramacharya called him inside and told him, "I want some hot water, can you bring it?" he said. So this boy gone and got some hot water from somewhere and gave it to him, right? And this was the incident, what happened. This happened at when he was 9 years old, 8 or 9 years old, right? After 50 years, Sundaresha has grown up big and he has wanted his daughter to be married. So he decided that I will go to Kanchipuram and see Paramacharya and ask him for his blessings for this marriage. And so he went there. And when he went there, 9-year-old, he has become, oh, after 50 years, we can say he's about 60-year-old now. And he went there and stood in the Kanchi Madam outside. And Paramacharya saw him standing there. And he told someone, call him here, he said. And asked him, you were not the boy who gave me the hot water that day? 50 years ago, somebody has given him some hot water. It stayed in his head. This is how they are. Yeah. So, do you remember that? He says, he remembered, the boy remembered. That's what created in him this reverence towards him. He never thought that he will remember this. Yeah. So, why does that happen? This is an important thing. This is to show to us the Shraddha. That when Jnani's realized soul sees you, there are two ways it can happen. If you have a lot of reverence towards them, they will know everything what is inside you. Your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, everything they will know. If you have a reverential feeling towards them. Contrarily, if you have a very negative thought about them, they will know that as well. This is a realized person. Realized person means, you remember Bhagavatam says, Tam sarvabhuta kradayam vinimana dosmi. You have become one with the absolute. That means everything what's happening in others' heart is known to him. Right? So this was only a small incident. But as far as Sundaresha was concerned, he was in his mind thinking, such a great personality, how do I go in front of him? And I am nothing. He was thinking like that, right? And as far as Sundareshwara was concerned, he later on came to Ramana Maharshi's place, and he was not given much of an importance because he was not highly educated in the Vedam, or materially also not much of importance, not wealthy, not knowledge of the Shastram. But all he has done was he brought some hot water to Paramacharya, and Paramacharya remembered that after 50 years. So, it is similar. Krishna also is like that, because Krishna is the same. It's not much different, right? Krishna remembers everything, what is going through us. That you will come to understand that better, right? Yeah. So, it is when the Mahatmas travel all over, walking in them days, others get an opportunity to get some connection with them in this way, right? Some people become great personalities later. Sometimes people will know that they heard Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad Gita stayed inside them for a long period of time. It stayed, right? So the benefit of Salsangam is basically planting the seed of the knowledge of the Vedam, Bhagavad Gita. That is the idea behind that, to plant the seed inside, right? It is not a class. It is just to get the seed planted inside that bhakti in the heart, right? So when Mahalpas travel, what they do is they keep on planting the seed in different people's heart and then they go. And whether the seed has sprouted or not, that is not the duty of the person. That has to happen according to, it may sprout somewhere in some people, right? What they are doing is only planting the seed of this Shraddha in the people. That's all. So that is why Krishna has given a lot of importance to Shraddha, right? So similarly here, we are talking about Anandagiri. Ajani Swamiji has seen this Anandagiri somewhere and he was only a little boy. Anandagiri asked Ajani Swamiji, can I come with you? He said, they were like that. Children were like that. Tulsidas went the same way. Tulsidas also left home in the same way. They came from a very poor family at that time. So, Tulsidas' case, if you look at, there were 10 children, their family, right? And by birth itself, he had blindness. And so therefore what happened? Everybody ignored him. In them days, it was like that. Then the children, all others among 10 children, one of them happened to be a little blind, so therefore they ignored him, right? And plus they were very poor as well. They were a Punjabi Brahmana family, right? And the child was having a lot of distress because of the, his condition. Naturally, children will feel that, right? So, so during festival times and all, they will buy fresh clothes for all the children, for not for this child. And because he could not see anything, so what was the point in putting a new clothes on? That's how they were, right? So one day what happened was, he saw a group of people chanting the holy name and walking through the street. He joined them. He just joined them, right? And he didn't have good clothes even, but when he saw these people chanting the holy name, bhajans, and singing and walking, he joined them, right? And they went to some village somewhere, and for some time he stayed there with them. They didn't tell anything to the parents, he just went with them, right? So, all Mahatmas are like that. So, when you compare Tulsidas' life with this Anandagiri, it is similar to that, right? So, Anandagiri travelled with Acharya Swamiji, could not understand what Acharya Swamiji was discussing with Sureshwara and Padmavada and Hastamalaka and all that. He could not understand anything. So, naturally, what will he do? He will do some personal service to him, right? And everybody liked Giri because Giri was like a servant attitude towards everybody, right? Giri had no knowledge of the Shastra. Therefore, nobody took him very seriously also. They will used him. They used him. Whatever they wanted, they will tell him, he'll go and do it, right? So, but Acharya Swamiji saw this in the Anandagiri, this quality, right? And he gave equal importance to Giri, what he has given to others, Padmavada, Sureshwara and Hastamalaka and all that, right? So normally when he teaches his disciples, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, Brahma Sutram and all that, he will wait till Giri comes. He won't start straight away. He will wait till Giri comes. And other disciples were thinking, why do we have to wait for Giri? He won't understand anyway, anything. So why is Acharya so particular about Giri coming for the class, right? And and it is normal that when somebody is very learned in the Shastram and all that, they will look down on upon others who does not have the knowledge of the Shastram so much. It is a phenomenon you see in this world, right? So Giri one day took Acharya Swamiji's clothes and went to the river to wash them. So, to come back, he got delayed. And at that time, the others were very anxious to start the class because Acharya Swamiji regularly was teaching them Brahma Sutram, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita. Three things, Prasthanatrayam, they call it. Right. So, they were saying to Acharya Swamiji, we can start now. It is getting delayed, let's start, he said. Acharya Swamiji said, Giri hasn't come, we will wait for Giri to come, he said. So somebody in the another hundreds of disciples who are there, they told Acharya Swamiji what the difference does it make, whether Giri comes or not, it's not going to make any difference, he said. When Acharya Swamiji heard that, immediately in his heart, he felt a tremendous feeling for Giri, that the others are thinking about him in this way, right? And the moment he was thinking about Giri like that, unusual compassion developed within him, and at the same time Acharya Swamiji went into samadhi state, right? And after a few minutes or so, Giri is coming back, and when Giri comes back, when he looked at Giri, Giri's face was very effulgent, and Giri was singing a song, and he became very famous through that song called the Todagashtakam. The meter is called a todagam. Todagam is a particular meter in the classical music. So on that todagam is a classical music meter, and in that meter he was singing this famous song, Todagashtakam. Right? So, and seeing his face, that happiness on his face, and his effulgence on his face, seeing all that, others who were there, Sureshwara, Padmavada, Hastamalaka and all that, they realize that he is already realized. Anandagiri is already realized, right? He came over straight away and he recited 8 verses glorifying Acharya, and that is famous known as the Todakashtakam. You can see that the meter itself is so beautiful that even now, among the learned circles, they recite these words because of Todaka's particular the qualifications he has spoken about there. Vidita Agila Shastra Sudha Jalade Mahidopadishat Kadidartha Nithe Hridaye Kalaye Vimalam Charanam Bhava Shankara Deshikame Charanam. All verses finishes with that, offering his respects to Acharya Swamiji, Bhava Shankara Deshikame Charanam, saying like that. This is famous 8 verses. His glorification of Acharya Swamiji, right? So from that day onwards, he is looking at Acharya Swamiji and saying, "You are Shiva himself, Parameshwara," right? So that bhavam, then it manifested in him. Suddenly it manifested on Anandagiri's face, and since then he is known as Todakacharya because he compiled these 8 verses glorifying Acharya Swamiji in Todaka meter, and therefore Ragam. So therefore he came to know as Todakacharya from then on, right? So, and he also has compiled another sutram, Todaka Sutram, later, right? In the Todaka Vrtam, in which he has spoken Vedanta Shastram in a very amazing way. He glorified in that, right? So, where did that knowledge come to him? Where did that knowledge come to him? He didn't study any books, but due to that bhakti, that shraddha and bhakti towards Acharya, and therefore he became a seat of the shraddha, jnanam, right? If one has sufficient shraddha and bhakti, then it doesn't require much shastram or anything. Immediately realization can come. Knowledge of the self can happen. The bodily connection is broken straight away, right? So that's what has happened to Giri. Giri didn't study any shastram, but just to show the power of shraddha, how shraddha and bhakti in the acharya has resulted like this to him. Without anybody's any knowledge of the shastram, realization happened, self-realization happened, right? You will see this in several places in the Upanishads. This importance of shraddha spoken in, this is a recent incident, what happened to Anandagiri about 2000 years back. But if you go back to Upanishads times, in Upanishads you will find spoken elaborately about the shraddha. Look at Kathopanishad, for example, Nachiketas. What happened to Nachiketas? Nachiketas, for a short period of time, his shraddha went into the truth. And immediately the result was that what happened to him was his father was performing sacrifices, right? And in that sacrifice, he was doing the sacrifice, but not according to the shastram perfectly. And he realized at that time that there is a thing called death. And this death is something what he was very concerned about. He saw both death and immortality, both of them, right? Just like in Maharshi's case also, Ramana Maharshi's case also, right? For a short period of time, that Shraddha inside woke up. And he saw on one side death, other side immortality, right? And able to realize that everything is temporary in this world, to come to that realization itself is a big thing in life, that everything is temporary in this world. What's the point in chasing them? To come to that understanding, it takes time. If that happens, that's a big step, right? So, and if that Shraddha comes inside, the Vedam says that immediately self-realization can happen to such a person. So, here Krishna is talking about that in these verses. He's saying, Brahmam is spoken, if you remember, he said, this Om Tat Sat, that word, what we were talking about. ओम तत्सद इति निर्देशम ब्राह्मणस्त्रिविधस्मृदाः ब्राह्मणस्तेन वेदश्च यज्ञश्च विदिता परा. सो दिस ओम तत्सद Prabhupada has also put the same thing here. He said, Omi Tyagaksharam Brahmano Nirdishtam Nama, Rigveda. From the Rigveda it has taken, indicates the first code, the Om, representing Vedam or Brahma, right? Then, from Chandogya Upanishad, Tat was taken. Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, they took the Tat from Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, they took the Tat and put it here, Om Tat. Then, from Chandogya Upanishad, then Sadeva Saumyam, another Upanishad hymn from same Chandogya Upanishad is this Sat. So two words, Tattvamasi, one Mahavakyam Tattvamasi, from that Tat was taken. Sadeva Saumyam, that hymn in the Chandogya Upanishad, from there Sat was taken. And then Om represents Brahman, Vedam, Om. Om Tat Sat. That's how these three letters have come. Om Tat Sat. Om comes from Brahman or Vedam, and Tat comes from Tattvamasi, and Sat comes from Sadeva Saumya, from the Chandogya Upanishad. So you can see connection between Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads, right? So all of them combined together becomes Om Tat Sat, right? So here, what that what we are saying is Om Tat Sat. And Sat is, what is Sat actually means? Our Astitvam. Astitvam means what? Our existence, awareness, Bodham inside us, that we exist, isn't it? Right? So remember this, what Krishna said in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Nasado Vidyade Bhavo, Na Bhavo Vidyade Sada, Ubayorave Drishtantam Sanayor Tattva Darshibhi, he said. Krishna has used that word in two different places, Tattva Darshibhi. Where Krishna says, Vedam is authority, Tattva Darshis are authority, I am not, Tattva Darshis are authority. One in that words, he said. Then in another place, when he's talking about the Guru, he's saying that, isn't it? In the fourth chapter. Yeah. Taddhiti pranivadena pariprasthena sadavaya upadekshandidesnyanam yanina tattvadarshina, he says. So this tattvadarshi, one who is realized, Krishna says they are the authority. Krishna is saying this. They are the authority, right? So nasado vidyade bhavo na bhavo asado vidyado bhavo. What he is saying, Krishna is saying here, is that satya existence, right? Asatya has no existence. Asat has no existence. Similarly, Sat will never be destroyed. Existence or Bodham cannot be destroyed. Right? So, what he is saying is, Krishna is saying that, in that verse particularly, that one who is present in everyone, everybody, as Chit Shakti, as Chitta, and which is the root of my existence, is it not? For example, when I say, I am, what am I referring to? My existence actually, not the body, not the gross body, not the subtle body, not the causal body, but actually my very existence itself, right? And that is what he said, that Satya existence, and then the Bodham and Anandam, all three are one, Satya, Chitta, Anandam, right? So in this way, this statement in the Vedam, along with the pranavam, Om, as a mantra it is spoken as Om Tat Sat. Om Tat Sat is that Bodham, Satya, existence and Chitta Anandam all combined together in that one statement. Right? So while performing Vedic sacrifices, Vaidya Karma, in the middle of that, they will recite this Om Tat Sat all the time. And but later on, people have lost the understanding behind that. So they started thinking that only while receiving Dakshina, you say Om Tat Sat and bless them. It has become like that. You see how things gets lost its proper understanding, right? So Krishna is saying that here, Om Tat Sat, Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdesham, Brahmanas Trivisas Pradaha, Brahmanas Tena Vedascha, Yajnascha Vidha Pura. Right? And so, if this Om Tat Sat, the moment you hear this, knowledge will come inside. So Om, letter Om, which represents Vedam, is a auspicious sound for attracting our Shraddha. Tat Sat is the Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, from that Tat Shabdam. And so, and that is present inside all of us as Jiva. That is present inside as Jiva, as the Sat, and also as our Astitvam, existence, right? So, and that can be, he is saying here, it can be experienced in our cave inside, Hridaya Guha, what we call it as Hridayam, heart. Not the mechanical heart, but where realization happens, right? So Brahman was addressed like this, Om Tat Sat, Iti Nirdesham, right? Brahmanas, Vedam, Yajnam. Vedam is a Shastram, right? But it is through Yajnam it comes, and Brahmana is the one who is having the realizations of all this. So, Vedam is the Shastram, and that Shastram is revealed through Yajnam, and the people who realize it are the Brahmanas. So, for all three of these, Om Tat Sat, that is used, Trividaha, Om Tat Sat, saying like that, Krishna is saying that, he mentioned to us that all Yajnam, all Dhanam, all Tapasya, everything, and everything that comes under the Vedic umbrella, Vedic traditions, begins with this statement, Om Tat Sat. That's what he is saying in that verse. Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdesho Brahmano Trividha Smridaha Brahmanas Tena Vedascha Yajnascha Vihidha Pura. So, Yajnam, and similarly, Dhanam, charity, Yajnam, sacrifices, Dhanam, charity, Tapasya, all three things has to be done with this mantram, Om Tat Sat, Om Tat Sat. So, that's what it is. Then, saying that, therefore, Krishna is saying, therefore, Tasmad Om Ityudahritya Yajna Dhana Tapakriyaha Pravartande Vidhanokta Sadadam Brahmavadinam. Saying this Om, the meaning of the Om is spoken earlier, remember? In the early chapters, Akshara Brahma Yogam, 8th chapter, I think. If you look at the Bhagavad Gita, the letter Om, why it's so important? That's spoken before. Omi Tyagaksharam Brahmam, Vyaharan Mama, Nusmaran. Krishna says all that in the early chapters, right? A, O, Ma, three letters come together and becomes Om. So, this pranavam, shabdam, in order to explain that, this A, O, Ma, how they come together and become Om, it is for that purpose Mandukya Upanishad was spoken. One whole Upanishad has spoken to explain this A, O, Ma, how they come together and becomes Om. And it is nothing but Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti, the three states, right? So, A is Jagrat, U is Sopnam, and Ma is Sushupti, three states, right? So, when we say Om, with that, while saying this letter Om, there comes, it closes, and there is a silence. That Maunam comes from that. And that Maunam, this importance of that is that Mandukya Upanishad says that is the Turiyam state. A, O, Ma are Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Beyond these three states, there is Turiyam, Samadhi state. So when you recite this letter Om properly done with the instruction from a proper realized soul, if one practices that, it ends up in Turiyam state. Therefore, that's what he is saying here. Tasmad Om iti udahritya yajnam dana tapakriyaha. Right? In other words, right? Yajnam dhanam tapasya kriya. All these things, he says, pravartande. Any karma when you do, Vaidika karma, it is always done with the letter Om. Even any karma, like we say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, for a simple class, we speak like that, right? And similarly, all the Vaidika mantram also begins with letter Om, right? And so in Shruti Vedam, this letter is so important, Om, right? All personalities who follow Vedam seriously, Brahmavadis they are called, they perform their Vaidika karma with letter Om, with letter Om. That's what he's saying. Tasmad Om ityudahritya yajna danam tava kriyaha pravartande vidhanottam satadam Brahmavadinam. Brahmavadinam means Brahmavadis who believes in the absolute truth as Brahman. Jnani is basically referring to. They all begin their Vaidika karma with the letter Om. Then, taditi anabhisandhaya halam yajna tapakriyaha dana kriyascha vivita kriyande moksha kangshibhi. So then the tat shabdham Om, referring to the omityagaksharam Brahmam represented by Om. Then tat shabdham, how does it comes? It comes from tatomasi, isn't it? So what does it mean actually? It means that without thinking about the results of the karma, without expectation of any results from the karma, yajnam dhanam tapasya, knowing very well that Krishna is present in everybody, in everyone, as the Antaryami, and offering obeisances to him. That is called tattvamasi. That recognizing that Krishna is present in everyone, any living entity, Krishna is present inside, and offering respects to them in that way, that is called tattvamasi. And that truth, what is present in everyone, is present in you as well. You are not different from others. Everyone that is present, right? So, the thing is this, the difficulty is this, that you may sometimes think, how can I offer obeisances to so many different entities, right? And if you start thinking, that are they qualified that I should offer obeisances to them? A dog, or a cat, or a snake, or a pigeon, or whatever it is, right? How do I offer obeisances to them? How does it make sense? Okay, Krishna is present in all of them. But if you start analyzing like that, you won't find anybody in this world to offer obeisances to, right? So, because even in the Vedam, while Vaidika Karmam is performed, Vaidika Karmanushtanam, when you perform Vaidika Karmam also, Shraddha, in order for Shraddha to happen, right, they will say that you have to have a Brahmana who has studied Vedam, right? And he should have these qualifications. It's all spoken also in the Vedam, right? And he should not have certain faults in him. Certain faults he shouldn't have. He should not have diseases. He should not have... There is a description. Samudriya Shastram says what the Brahmana should be like. It all explains that. Only to such a Brahmana, and these are all spoken in the Smriti. Manusmriti says like that. If you start looking at all that, you won't be able to perform Shraddha ceremony. For Shraddha ceremony, you require a Brahmana to be like that, with all these qualifications spoken in the Vedam. This is, Manusmriti says like that, right? If you start looking for such a person, you won't find anybody. So then the question comes, is Shruti important or Smriti important? Problems can happen like that. You see now today in the world also, lot of people question Manusmriti, don't they? Lot of things spoken in the Manusmriti is not acceptable. For example, women giving up their body when the husband is died. Husband died, women jump into the fire and sati, what it is called. Manusmriti mentions that. And therefore, people who are against this Sanatana Dharma, they get hold of these things and they start arguing against the how bad the Vedic tradition is, how bad the Sanatana Dharma is. They try to prove it in that way. And there are so many other things also, like this caste system and all things. If you read Manusmriti, sometimes you will be put off by the way things are spoken in that, right? So, here, so the important thing, then it is come from, Manusmriti is a Smriti, isn't it? Whereas Bhagavad Gita and everything belongs to Upanishads, which is Shruti. So, is Shruti important or Smriti important? This question will always is a problem for many people. What do I follow? Smriti is also important. Shruti Smriti Puranam Alayam Karunalayam Namami Bhagavalpada Shankaram Loka Shankaram. There is a prayer like that. Yeah. So, Shruti is saying here, don't look into all that too much into it, right? Krishna is present in everyone as Antaryami, Chaitanyam, right? And the problem is like this, that sometimes you think about others and they are presented in front of you as great personalities, good people and all that. But what happens is, when you get closer to them, you start seeing faults in them. This is normal in this world. Suppose the media and others hype up everything and present someone as a great personality in front of you. And if you are very much addicted to media and seeing all these persons in the videos and YouTubes and all that, you also start building up an image of him inside you, thinking that he must be a great personality, he has got so many followers and things like that. Yeah. So, and the problem is that, suppose you get to know him very closely, you start feeling a lot of problems because you're thinking that this is not the same thing what I was thinking about him when I saw him in the media before. Right? So, this always happens to everybody, right? As you get closer, you will start seeing certain things which you don't like. This will happen, right? And this has happened to Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, to Ramana Maharshi, to Lord Buddha, and even to Shankaracharya also. This has happened, right? So, and due to that, what happens is, they will leave them and go away after some time. They'll come, they'll stay some time, and then they'll find some faults, and then they will go, right? So, this problem will happen, no matter, with any great personality, if you go and closely associate, this problem will come up at a later date, right? So, therefore, if you are not able to only see the good side of things, what is present in them, and able to respect them and worship them, and it is difficult. This is a problem for many, many people, right? They won't say this to you, but in their heart, they are feeling difficulty with this, right? And if you are looking for perfection in a person, and then start associating with him, and you aren't going to see perfection in that person all the time, it won't happen. It won't happen in this world, right? And that is why in Srimad Bhagavatam, in a particular instance, this is a very important thing, right? In a particular instance, in the 7th canto, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying to us this problem. He's talking about this problem. Narada Maharshi is saying this problem, right? So he's saying here that, what did Narada Maharshi say to us? He says, even Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were in samadhi state. He is glorifying, Narada Maharshi is glorifying Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu and saying to us that even they were in the samadhi state, which is quite an amazing statement, isn't it? For Narada Maharshi to say like this, after talking about Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, he is saying in this way, that, yeah. So, therefore, if you start thinking that only after seeing the good qualities in a person, and only then you can worship them, if you think like that, it is not going to happen, right? So, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu hated Krishna so much inside. But Narada Maharshi is saying, inside them, they were also thinking about Krishna, Dhyanam, Bhagavad Dhyanam, right? Therefore, we should offer obeisances to them. Narada Maharshi is saying this. The word he has used is Sambrambha, Sambrambha, Sambrada, Samadhi, Sanubhadha, Yoga. There is a line like that there. Sambrambha, Sambrada, Samadhi, Anubhadha, Yoga. Right? Even though it is through hate, they hated, but in their mind, they have kept Krishna inside while hating Krishna. Sambrambha, Sambrada, Samadhi, Anubhadha, Yoga, he says. It's also a type of yoga system. That they hated him, but they remembered him so strongly inside. Who? Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu remembered Krishna so strong. Vishnu, in their case it was Vishnu. They remembered Vishnu so strongly inside. Sri Narada Maharshi says they were in a yoga state. Sambrambha, Sambrada, Samadhi, Anibaddha Yoga, he says. So, if you take that approach, then hate will not develop towards anyone. Like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were able to remember Vishnu like this, in the same way. So here, they are saying is that the way to become free from developing this problem, what I have spoken before, that you get into the association of Mahalbas and suddenly within yourself you started thinking they are not the Mahalbas whom I thought they are, they got all these problems and then they will go, they will walk away. That should not happen, right? So, if you start looking at good side, the qualities and their weaknesses, strengths and weaknesses, gunam, dosham and all these things, character and all, start looking at people, you will never be able to respect them, right? So, what you can do in that situation is, you make a decision like this, that everyone is Krishna inside. Chaitanyam is present in everyone. Don't look into their swabhava. In their swabhavam, you may find so many problems. But look into the swarupam of everyone, right? So, accepting them in that way, instead of looking into their personality or to their nature, swabhavam, right? Because if you start looking like that, you will find fault. Some fault you will find. They have found fault with Krishna even. What to talk about others now? So, we don't understand this problem because problem is a very serious one. We go and we get into this kind of situation, right? So, that is what he is saying here, that the that the gunam dosham is a problem like this, that one instance, what happened was, there was one devotee called Kunju Swami, and this Kunju Swami came to Ravana Maharshi's ashram, right? And when he came there, a lot of people are doing a lot of wrong things. So he went up to Maharshi and told him that, you don't say anything to them, they are doing all these things, he said. So they are thinking that what they are doing is okay and Maharshi is happy with what they are doing, right? Why should you not tell them that? He said, asked Maharshi, right? Maharshi told him, I have not come to this world to correct others, he said. It is not my job, he said. And if I start looking at the faults of others, even a crow won't be able to fly in the sky, he said. Because there will be some problem in everyone, one thing or the other, right? So, therefore, anyasya gunadoshana chindam alpa muktva, right? This anyasya gunadosha chinda, in others, seeing this gunam dosham is not a good thing. It won't help at all. So, and that is why Krishna also said to Uddhava, parasvabhava karmani na prashamsayen na garhayed, vishwamegalpagam pashyen pragritya purushayenacha. Then he again said, parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsadiya nindadi, sa ashu brashade swata asatyam apiniveshada, he said. Those two verses in the 28th chapter, I think, in the 11th canto. Krishna said this to Uddhava. Uddhava, svabhavam karmam. If you start looking at people, You won't see perfection anywhere. Even in Mahatmas, you will see this problem. So don't look for that, he said. Yeah? And he also said in the 45th chapter, in the 11th canto, Gunadosha Drishir Dosham, Gunastu Upaya Varjita. Is this looking at people and start saying good and bad in everyone, is itself is bad. And not looking at it is good, he said. Gunadosha Drishir Dosham, Gunastu Upaya Varjita. Krishna finishes that chapter, 19th chapter, like that. So, seeing everyone as Atma, soul, and not worrying about others' Swabhavam too much. Swabhavam is different. Everybody is different Swabhavam, right? And if you start thinking like that, then you won't be able to see them as Atma. If you start looking into the Swabhavam, you won't be able to see them as Atma, right? So, Atma with a good Swabhavam, according to your nature, you won't be able to find. So therefore they say, Swabhavam, let that be anything, it doesn't matter. And Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he used to say a nice way of putting that, he said, an elephant, wild elephant is coming against him. He is also Narayana, he said. He is also Narayana. But you should not go closer to him, because he is dangerous. He is Narayana, but I won't go closer to him. Keep away from him, right? And that is the secret behind that. Yeah. So, if you start looking at Swabhavam and Karmam, then you won't be able to recognize the presence of Krishna in them. Bhagavad Darshanam is not possible. This is the difficulty. If you start looking at people with their Swabhavam, with their nature, and the kind of things they do, Karmam, then it will be very difficult to recognize Krishna's presence in them, right? So, for example, you can see Salagramam if you take, or Shivalingam, these things, right? In some of them, there will be broken, there won't be perfect in every way. Sometimes the eyes won't be there, or nose won't be there. So, how come that in a Shivalingam you're able to accept that it is Lord Shiva present in that Shivalingam, right? So similarly, certain forms, what they worship in different temples, sometimes they may not look very attractive, look very ugly. Sometimes these deities and all, after worshipping for thousands of years, what happens is, even the black stone, granite stone, it starts deteriorating. And then what happens is, these little living entities like flies and certain types of, different types of flies, they will come and sit on the deity and they'll build their nest inside the deity itself. These deities are over 4,000-5,000 years old. Imagine that. 5,000 years old deities are still there in the many temples. And these deities, after such a long period of time, the stones start becoming brittle and then it starts breaking up, because after all it is also made of matter, isn't it? So these little things will come. And when you do abhishekam on the deity through milk or yogurt or honey and all that, naturally they will find a nest there. They want to enjoy that. They only see that thing, is it not? So they'll come and occupy. And the pujari may not notice all these things. So over thousands of years of worship, these old deities, what they will do, they will put a covering with the gold or silver on top of the deity. A covering on top of that. But even that, after some time, you're talking not talking about 100 years or 50 years, you're talking about thousands of years, that metal also will start deteriorating. And these little insects or flies, what is gone inside, they would have built a nest inside. They would have built a nest inside, right? So, when you very closely look at the deity, when they remove that, this is called Golaga, what they put over top. When they take it out, if you look at the deity very closely, you will see it's broken in many places. Sometimes the hand is broken, the leg is broken, say about 3-4 feet high deity, right? So, but still, you feel inside a reverential feeling that deity is Krishna or deity is Vishnu in that way. And sometimes the form looks very awkward because it is broken and everything. Right. So therefore, still you are worshipping. People are worshipping the deity, right? Why is like that? It is not perfect anymore. The deity is not in the perfect state, right? So in the same way, but you are able to see accept that as Krishna's representation, isn't it? That deity. Even though when you look at the form, it is broken and it is losing its purity and everything. It's not looking fresh and it's not looking very beautiful either because it's broken. You have to go and see the old temples. Only then you will notice this. Some of these deities are 4,000. This Vidyapidam deity is 4,000 years old. Agastya Maharshi's disciple has installed that deity. Over 4,000 years, how much it has worn out, you have to go and look at it. It's gone so much, it is destroyed in the deity form, right? They have put a covering to it, that is also gone. And now also they are trying to do certain other things. So, certain forms may look very... But people who see the deity, they think about the how old, and that too Agastya Maharshi as disciple has installed. So therefore they feel that reverential bhakti towards that form, even though the form itself looks very cruel, a very crooked way. It looks like that, right? So so this bhavam is important inside. why is that? Because Krishna is saying there, in the same way, in this world, when we look at it, so many things we may find not very attractive. So many things you find not attractive. And when somebody tells you that you have to see this as Krishna, Krishna's presence in everything, that you are finding it very difficult to start that, is it not? So, so Krishna is saying that that is the way to start this. That see this creation itself as Krishna's manifestation, right? Whatever defects or whatever faults are there in the Prakriti, with that itself, they are perfect, with that itself, right? Whichever way it appears to you, for example, and if you start looking at it as all to be perfect, then you will never be able to develop that relationship with the world like the way Krishna has spoken. Yeah. So, practical difficulties will come. That is why Krishna has said here, in order to that, to develop this relationship, one has to see everything as Atma, as the soul, right? If you can live a life like that, not expectation of any results, one can develop this tat, that anusandhanam. Anusandhanam, what means that? They say the example is like this, that you look at a mountain, for example in Switzerland or Himalayas, all of them, when you look at them from a long distance, they look beautiful, right? But when you get closer to the mountain and go inside and look at it, there's all stones there and there's also wild animals there, right? All these things will be there. But when you look at them from a long distance and a nice photograph, you look at, they look beautiful, right? So, so if you have gone closer and looked at it, it is different. But when you look at it from a distance, long distance, it looks appealing to you, right? So, so everything in this creation also, let them remain in their constitutional position, wherever they are, and they have got that freedom to do so in their surupam. Mountain has its surupam, ocean has its surupam. Similarly, everything in this creation, all living entities have their own creation, their own surupam. But you have to stay a little distance from them, and from distance you have to offer respects to them. That is what Krishna is saying there. Ekalmagam pashyan. Ekalmagam pashyan. You remember what Krishna said there? Parasubhava karmani. Yeah. Yeah. Vishwam ekalmagam pashyan, Krishna is saying. What does that mean? Vishwam ekalpagam pashyan means this, that you are seeing things, not looking, analyzing their nature, swabhavam or prakriti, but from a distance recognizing that Krishna is present in them. Vishwam ekalpagam pashyan. So this siddhi, this is perfection of the, in self-realization, able to see everything as Atma, everything as Atma. But if you follow this approach, it won't be very difficult. Only thing is you have to decide inside that everything is Atma at the end, right? But if you start, go closer to them and start mixing with them, then it won't happen. That is what Paramahamsa said there. Ramakrishna said that. Anna, elephant, is also Krishna's manifestation, but you don't go closer. But from distance, you recognize that is also Krishna's manifestations in this way. Because if you get closer, it's a practical difficulty. Therefore, you can do the vyavaharam in a dharmic way with them, able to recognize that everything is Atma from a distance, and in that way, you keep up that relationship. So otherwise, only in that case, with this way, if you relate with them, it will become practical. That's what Krishna is saying there. It will become practical, right? So, you will see this in the Adarsha Skandam. Krishna is talking about that a lot. He mentions, if you look into the 11th canto, in the 11th chapter, Sixteenth verse. That's Krishna's answer to that. Krishna is saying, Nastudida na nindeda, kurvada sadhu asadhuva, vadado gunadoshabhyam varjida samadrak muni. Muni is like that. Is samadrak. This samadrak Krishna has said that, isn't it? About samadrak Krishna has said, how to develop that samadrak. Samadrakatvam, samadra nature, right? So, you don't have to glorify anyone, you don't have to insult anybody, right? In front of us, people may have done something good in this world, but there is no need to go and glorify it. Similarly, they may have done something very wrong things also, you don't have to condemn them for either. This is the approach of the Muni, right? Gunadoshabhyam varjidaha means not to start looking at gunam dosham, good and bad in everything, right? Samadrak Muni. So that samadarshitvam, what Krishna is saying here in the Bhagavadam, is the nothing but an expansion of this, what Krishna is speaking here also. Bhagavad Gita's a detailed commentary is Bhagavadam actually, but much more personalized one. Because there's a lot of personalities comes in Bhagavadam, representing what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Right. So if you want to understand Bhagavad Gita much more higher level, you have to study Bhagavadam. That's the only way, right? How this samadarshitvam, equal vision will come, which is a big thing. He's saying, everywhere Krishna is saying samadarshanam. Pandita samadarshanam. Yeah. Pandita samadarshanam. So, Pandita samadarshanam, all these things you will find everywhere in the Bhagavad Gita. How to get this samadarshanam? And that's what is spoken in these verses. Krishna is talking about, right? Tasmad omityudahatya yajna dana tapakriyaha pravartande vidhanoktam sadadam brahmavadinam. Right? So, after saying that, he said, Tad iti abhisandhaya bhalam yajna tapakriyaha dana kriyascha vivida kriyande moksha kankshibhi. It is very difficult to say something more practical than this, right? For example, as a solution to all the problems, he says, normally in family life also these problems will come. Husband is doing like this, wife is doing like that, children are doing something different. And when you see those things in your mind also, thoughts will come. Why have they done like this? Husband will find fault with the wife, wife will fall with the husband. And children will be doing something. They are another generation. They are doing their own things. And you will find, why are you like this? Why are you not doing like the way I have done it? Things like this all builds up inside. Right? So therefore, when you see such things, the solution is that you believe that you can't see things properly. You are blind and your ears are deaf in that way. And then say to yourself that everything is Atma at the end. You have to console yourself in that way. Everything is Atma, right? So if you consciously do that, then and accept that Purnatvam, perfection in everyone, then if you do like that, then Shanti will be there, right? So, but when you make it practical, it is a little difficult thing. But now and then, if you remind yourself what this verse is saying, that he says, Taditidi anabhisandhaya phalam yajna tapakriyaha dana kriyascha vidha kriyande mokshakankshibhi. That is Krishna's instruction to us. Krishna is saying, if you are a mokshakankshibhi, if you want liberation, you have to develop this relationship with the world. There is no other way. Whereas if you want to try to correct the world and make everything perfect and you want liberation also, that's not going to happen. We'll discuss that in the second chapter when you come to that. In the beginning itself, Krishna says this, right? So, now and then, if you are able to remember this, Krishna is saying, in order to make it will become practical. Sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhayat. Krishna said that in the beginning, right? Yeah. So, there was situation, right, where he said that Krishna says this like this, right? Right. This Sulpam Apyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahabhayat is like this. You know, in the examination you write, and they'll say pass mark, is it not? 30 or 35. I don't know how much it is here, but in India it is 30, 35 then. Yeah, 35. Yeah. If you get that, you get through. You go to the next class, right? So, Sulpam Apyasya Dharmasya is like that. You get the pass mark, and you're going to the next level, right? So that is what he is saying here, that tadidi anabhisandhaya phalam yajna tapakriyaha. Without thinking about the results, tapasya, whether it is shraudam, smartam, all the kriya, dhanam, those who are looking for liberation, they say, they will do that to the extent that is possible. And without thinking about the results, that's the most important thing, right? Now, this is another interesting thing. We understand, normally, karma yoga means without expectation of results, you do a karma. That's normally karma yoga means, is it not? Right? But it won't become karma yoga simply by doing that alone. It won't become karma yoga. Because, for example, if you take all these machines also, they are all doing karma yoga then. They are not expecting any results, are they? So that means they should all get liberated. All the machine, washing machine, cooker, and fridge, everything. They are doing karma without expectation of results. So they should get liberated based on that theory. No. Not expectation of results is alone is not karma yoga, right? Otherwise, cooker, grinder, everything will become realized to souls, but they don't, right? They are not yogis, are they? Why? Because they are jadam. There is no chaitanyam in them, right? Therefore, result expectation of results alone does not make it karma yogam. On the other hand, when you offer all the results to Krishna, then it becomes karma yogam. Bhagavad arpana. Bhagavad Dharma says that. Isn't it? Kayanavaja. That verse. So, karma yogam becomes Bhagavad Dharma only when the results are offered to Krishna. Otherwise, it is not. It is just karma only. Just because you offered the results to Krishna, it doesn't become karma yogam. It becomes karma yogam or Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma and karma yogam are not actually different. They are one and the same. You are calling in two different names. That's all. Karma yogam is Bhagavad Dharma. But when you are offering all the results to Krishna with the understanding that Krishna should be pleased with this, what I have done. There's a lot of things to say about this. Right? So when you start doing that, then it is then that it becomes a bhakti, karma yogam, in other words. Right? So that Bhagavad Arpanam, Arpanam means this, to please Krishna. Krishna should be pleased. With that mind, if you do that, with that thinking, not expectation of any results, that's good. You should not expect any results, obviously. More than that, Krishna should be pleased. When you do that, then it becomes bhakti. It becomes bhakti. So, basically, karma yoga and bhakti yoga are one and the same. But when you say that, the results you are not expecting, but the results actually you are offering to Krishna. Offering to Krishna. Arpana buddhi, right? So, thinking about Krishna, that this Krishna should be happy with all these things, what is happening through this body, right? So, in this way, Krishna said that yajnam dānam tapasya yajna dāna tapa kriyaha, everything should be done in that understanding, with that understanding. And then the result will be good. What is the result? Result is like this. Results are not coming from the outside results. For example, you did a karma and the result has come from that. That is not actually the result. Result is that inside you, chitta shuddhi will happen and that dhyanam will build up, meditation mood. Meditativeness, mind becomes very focused on things. Shraddha shakti increases, right? So that is the result. That is why you don't look at the results outside, but you will see the results inside you of developing that Shraddha Shakti inside. So something which you would have normally won't get it, you got it at that time, right? Anandatvam. Anandatvam means this unlimited happiness inside of coming from that sacrifice, yajnam, dānam, tapas, whatever you have done, from that you are getting. Which means that that unlimited thing, shandi, or this unlimited dhyanam inside comes in, which means that the result of that karma has come inside us in a very subtle level, sushma. In a very subtle level, it has come inside us, right? So, whereas the outside results, so you have done a karma, some results have come from that, that is not the important thing. That is what Krishna is saying here. You see, taditi anabhisandhaya, bhalam yajna tapakriya. Bhagavad Gita is a very subtle topic, it is. It's a lot of things which is related to our life in this world. Like we do things and we normally, that's our nature is. We do different karma in this world and what results did I get from that? You analyze it that way. That is in the ordinary people's life, right? So, here, it is not the results that is not important. The important thing is that you have given it to Krishna. That is that feeling. From that, the meditation comes inside. He's saying here. And this is the way, kriyande moksha kankshibi. Krishna is saying there. Dhanam kriyascha vivita kriyande moksha kankshibi. So those who want to get liberated, become free from the cycle of birth and death, this is how they conduct their yajnam, dhanam, tapas, everything. That's what that verse is saying. People who want to get liberated from the cycle of birth and death, they do yajnam, dhanam, tapas and all in this state of mind. That everything they are doing, it, they are not expectation of any results. But that's not the important thing. Important thing is that they are not expecting any results. More than that, they are doing everything to please Krishna. Krishna's pleasure. That is what, it is for Krishna that they are doing this, right? So, that's what that 25th verse is talking about, right? So, 25th verse. So, the next verse, if you look at it, he says, the last three verses, sadbhave sadubhave cha sadityedat prayujyare prashaste karmani tatha sadbhava parthujyare yajne tapasidani cha sthiti sadiri chochyare karma chaiva yathadarthiyam sadityevabhidhiyare. So here sadbhava means astitvam, sadubhavam means that if a person does something good, he is sadhu, right? Auspicious, right? Sadhu is that word. Sadbhava, sadhubhava. Sadbhavam, sadhubhavam, one and the same thing. Sadbhava means our astitvam. Sadhubhava means auspicious. Our existence is auspicious if you do this way. Sadbhavam, sadhubhavam cha, right? If a person does something good, it is sadhu. And if it is done an auspicious thing, if he has done an auspicious thing, it is sata. That's what that verse is saying. Then, he's saying here that the in this 27th verse, he says, Yajnye tapasi danincha, Yajnye tapasi danincha, Stidhi sadidhi ochochere, Karma cheva tadarthiyam, Sadhitya vabhidiyate, Yajnyam, Yajnya karmani yastidhi, Tapasi cha yastidhi, Danincha yastidhi, Sa cha sad idhi uchere, Vidyodbi karma cha eva, Tadarthiyam matva yasya abhidhanatrayam prakritam, Tadarthiyam ya yajnya dhana tapartiyam, Isharathiyam idhi edad, Yajnya tava adi karma asatvigam vigunam, Abhishraddhapurvadam, Brahmanaha abhidana traya prayogena sagunam satyugam sambhadidam bhavati. So, he's saying here that in this yajnyam karmam, yajnya karmam, steadiness in that, steady about yajnya karmam, right? Then that means always makes life as a yajnyam. Make life as a yajnyam, right? Similarly, in tapasya also, nishta, steadiness, right? Similarly, in dhanam also, a nityam, daily, on a daily basis, always on a mode of charity, dhanam, right? So, yajnyam, dhanam, tapasya, steadiness in all of them, and that is sata, Krishna is saying there. Yajnya dhanam, tapasya, yajnya tapasi dhanecha, siddhi sad, idi uchyate, sad, idi uchyate, chochyate, karma jaiva tadarthiyam, sadiva eva vidiyate, right? So that sati is important, and for that what you are doing the karmam, all that is yajnam, yagam, all that is spoken in the Vedam for this purpose, right? So Krishna is saying that you have to look for opportunities to do these things, yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, right? So to understand this a little bit more, I'll tell you a story about that, right? See, those who have studied Vedam, they are different. Different in the sense, whenever whatever they do, they don't do it with the same way what we do. That's the difference. The difference is that, right? So, people, for example, in Veda Padashala, who are teaching Vedam to the children, right? They have understood Vedam properly, the teachers. They are teaching the children also. So, we read these verses and we understand the importance of dhanam, yajnam and all that. But our mind is always a little different than them. Why is it different? Different in the sense, we are laugigas, aren't we? We look at our family, we look at our security and things like that. And on that basis, whatever charity we can do, we do. They do in a different way. What is the difference? Let me explain that. Yeah. So, in the Vaidika Brahmanas, when they receive the dhanam, right, they also have to perform charity. These Padashala people who are teaching there. These things you have to notice from them only. They won't explain in the books and all that. You have to learn it from them, the way they do it. Right. If you look at them, they are poor people. They are not rich people, are they? They are not doing business or they are not doing any big professional jobs or anything like that. They have very little money with them. Now and then they will get donations. Somebody will give them some when they go for different ceremonies, when they are invited. When they go, they will be given some dhanam from some rich people will give them something. And what you observe with them is this, that whenever they get an opportunity, they will try to get disposed of that straight away. They won't keep it with them. This is the difference. They won't keep it with them. They get now and then some gold or cash somebody may give. In the olden days, it is always gold they gave for that. And this, what they have received, they won't keep it. They will try to give it, dispose it as quickly as possible. And if they don't get an opportunity to give to somebody, they will create an opportunity to give it away. This is how they work. Now see the difference? we will look at our bank balance and we will make a decision, this much I can give now. My financial tells me, or my accountant told me, you can give this much in charity, I'll give that much. Or whatever it is, whichever way it is. Yeah. But we always look after ourselves first. And then we give the charity. Krishna is not happy with that. Krishna is saying, yajnam danam tapasya. This has to become an activity itself in life for self-realization. Moksha kankshubhi is saying there. It has to be done in such a mood like they were doing. That's the difference I'm saying. Those who have studied the Vedam, when they, I'll give you an example how they did that, right? So, they were given sometimes they were given in sacrifices and all. These Vaidya Brahmanas, they get sometimes like gold necklace or little bit of gold, one or two sovereigns and things like that, right? So, very materialistic people, mundane people, right? And, or very wealthy people also. When they perform these ceremonies, Shraddham and all that, they will call these people as priests for doing that, right? So when the priests come, they will bargain with them. Why you are asking so much money? It's only 5 minutes job. You are asking so much. This is our mundane mind works like that, right? And they will ask them, how much will it cost first to the priest? How much will it cost? And that's how they will give it, right? So, so this Vaidika Brahmanas means who have studied Vedam, everything. And for any special occasions like that, right? The Mahalmas, they will be given one or two sovereigns like that as a gift to them. And they may have got it like this in different yajnam when they go perform yagam and different ceremonies. They get paid like, paid means that they get this dakshana like that, right? So what they will do when they get back to the Veda Padashala, what they will do is, he will call all the children there who are studying there and tell them that my feet is hurting, right? Can you just recite Devi Mahalmyam for me? And they will recite Devi Mahalmyam and they will recite Devi Mahalmyam. And after some time, he will say, oh, that's enough for me. And then he'll give them cash, 2,000 rupees or 4,000 rupees to these children. He'll give it to them. Whatever he has got with him, he will straight away dispose it to them, to those children, right? So, in other words, he is creating an opportunity to get rid of that wealth. That is the approach to wealth, what is expected of us also. But unfortunately, we are not in that elevated consciousness to be like them because we have not studied Vedam and understood the principle behind that, right? Materialists, what they will do, they will look at accounts, everything. Everything. They look at the accounts, right? So, we are not talking about ordinary Brahmanas, Vaidya Brahmanas we are talking about, right? So, and there are people who are not like that also. So, there are people who are making a business out of that. That's just a lifestyle in this way to make money and living life. That's also there. It's also there, right? But those who are following Shruti, Vedam, seriously, there are Brahmanas, that also you can't deny. There are people who are following the path of Shruti very seriously, right? That is why it is said, Deyam Dina Janayacha Vittam. Remember? In the Bhagavad prayers, he is saying, Deyam Dina Janayacha Vittam means that, yeah? Deyam Dina Janayacha Vittam. It refers to that. So, Yellabhasenija karmobhatam mittam dena vinodaya chittam. And the Gayam, Ajahn says, Gayam Gita. Study Bhagavad Gita. Nama Sahasram. Recite Vishnu Sahasranama. Dhyayam Shripadi. Think about Krishna's form. Shripadi. Rupam Ajasram. Neyam Sajjana Sange Chittam. keeper association in Salsangam always, Deyam Dina Janayaja Vittam, and distribute all your wealth to people who deserve that. So that's what it is coming from, right? So those who are qualified, give it to them in the dhanam, right? And that is tapas, Krishna mentions here. So basically making dhanam as Bhagavad Aradhana, as Aradhana, dhanam also becomes then Aradhana, worship of Krishna, right? So when you do like that, the one who is giving it, he becomes benefited by that, right? That is why, that is the reason that the one who is receiving the charity, you keep him on a higher level, and you offer obeisances to him, and you worship him, and give him a dakshina for accepting it, thanking him for that. That's the relationship. Then thanking him for accepting it, right? This is Vaidhyam. This is based on the Vedam, right? So this has to become a habit, he says. What you give is not important, but all the time, one Swami said this, right? It was very, he talked about this, right? He was traveling in one village, somewhere in India. Somewhere he was traveling, walking like that, right? A very poor village he came to. He came into a very poor village, right? All houses were thatched cottages. That means shows that they didn't live in a very posh mansions. They lived in a very poor homes, right? And he noticed there, the people in that village, in a pot, they will put rice and another pot dal and keep it outside, right? And if any sannyasis or somebody comes, they will take it and give it from that pot, rice and dal, right? And if no sannyasis have come, they won't use it. They will keep it still, right? They will take it and go and give it to the temple, local temple. In the villages, this college, this used to be there, like that, yeah? So, once it so happened, when this sannyasi was walking through, a little girl, 7-8 years old, and her skirt was all torn, which showed that she is not coming from a very, financially sound background, right? And when she saw this sannyasi coming, she went inside, and some potatoes which were boiled, she brought it out and wanted to hand it over to him, for him, right? And she says to him, "This is all we have got at home. Look at that heart behind it. Understand that heart behind it. So poor they were, there was nothing to eat at home. They had only some potatoes there, boiled potatoes or something. And when the sannyasi came, she took that and brought it and gave it to him and telling him, apologizing to him, that we have got only this much to give it to you. We don't have anything else at home." So Swami says to her, "I don't need it. I will go and get something else from somewhere else," she said. Meanwhile, her father came. Her father came. And father saw this. And father says to the sannyasi, "Please accept that." "Why?" he said. "Why is that? We don't have anything." He said, "No, that's not important. If he doesn't give it to you, if you don't accept it, she will lose that habit of giving." You see how careful they were. That habit of giving, you will lose it if you stop this habit, right? So that is how they were. Yeah. So Salsangam is also to know these things, that this is what the real bhavam is inside, right? So similarly, there are so many stories behind that, right? Sadhu Sangam, right? Sarva Sangha Parityagam. Therefore, Sangam is important. Sangam is important. So only if you develop all these qualities in us, then only you can say that Salsangam is effective, beneficial, right? It is only then that this comes in a natural way in people. Yajnam, tapasya, all these things, dhanam, these things, you have to learn from others. when they do it, you observe these things. And from that, you will also become nishta. Steadiness will come in that. Nitya nishtanam, sandhya vandanam, all these things, nishta. Otherwise, if you don't get to see people like that, if you only read from the books, nishta won't come. If you only read from the books all these things, nishta won't come. Only when you see people who are like that, nishta. Nishta means steadiness will come, right? And that is why Sanatana Dharma is always gives stress at home. If at home somebody is doing it, parents are doing it, the children will notice it. And that is how they pick it up. Sanatana Dharma is not institutional. Sanatana Dharma is very much home business. At home, if the parents are steady in spiritual life and serious about all these things, children will definitely observe that and they will develop the same habits. Otherwise, it won't happen, right? Dhanam also. When they see the father, mother is giving things like that, naturally they will also, without teaching them, they will learn it on their own, right? So that is what he is saying here in that last line. Karma jaiva tadartyam sad itya abhidiyade. He says like that, right? So, ultimately, this chapter, Krishna is finishing. And this chapter, Krishna is saying, everything happens from Shraddha. Shraddha is behind everything, right? So, glorifying Shraddha, Krishna closes this chapter. Look at the next last chapter, last words. Ashraddhaya hudam dattam tapastaptam kritam chayat asati tuchyade partha nachatat pretyam no iha. Ashraddhaya hudam dattam tapastaptam kritam chayat asati tuchyade partha nachatat preyade no iha. Partha saying to Arjuna, without the Shraddha, if you do anything in this world, yeah, whether it is japam, dhyanam, homam, whatever it may be, if it is all done with a mind, oh, I have to do it, so I'll just give it something to them to keep them happy. Not that way, he says. That means without any bhavam inside, with avajna, in a very contemptive mood, if you give it like that, right? Dhanam, tapasya, and without this Shraddha, this is Shraddha, whatever you do like that, any karmam, Krishna says, it will become jadam. You say jadam means it won't have any effect. It won't have any effect. So it won't have any spiritual impact, in other words. When you do yajnam, dhanam, tapam and all, from that it has to have some spiritual impact on us. Otherwise, what is the point? This yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, Krishna is saying how to make it spiritual. That spiritual impact won't happen if you don't do it that way. And it won't be any use to you either in this world or in the life after death, he said. So, after the leaving this body, even if you want to go to higher planets, right, you won't become anything. You won't, why? Because in your subtle body, it has not made any effect. This yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, what you have done here, it has not impacted your subtle body. In the subtle body, you don't have bhakti, you don't have shraddha, you don't have dhyanam. All these things are not there. So, and on a gross level, gross body level, in this world also he won't get much benefit from that, he says. Therefore, shraddhaya deyam. Everything should be done with shraddha. While giving something, should be done with shraddha. Right? No dhanam, no charity without shraddha. And not only dhanam, tapasya. Similarly, demonstrably, all the karma, yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, everything should be done with shraddha. So, read what Acharya says here. Ashraya hudam havanam kridam dittam cha brahmanebhya ashraddhaya tapataptam manushtinam ashraddhaya tada ashraddhaya eva kridam yad studi namaskaradi tat sarvam asad idi uchyade mal prapti sadhana marga bahyatvad partha Nachat bahulayasam avipretya phalaya no api ihartam sadhubi nindidatvat iti. He says. So, if it is done like that, Krishna is saying, this will become another stepping stone in self-realization. Going back to Krishna, right?
And otherwise it won't be of any benefit here either. Therefore, Shraddha, in order to create the Shraddha inside, this is all Shraddha, all this is Shraddha, right? And for this purpose, in Shastram, has given stress on Dharmam. And in all our Adhyatma Sadhana, spiritual Sadhana also, Shraddha is important. Shraddha is important. So, this Shraddha gives us everything, all that is required from that. Shraddha, Bhakti, Dhyanam. If all these things happen, then the life has become perfect, Krishna says. So, Shraddha, Radhir, Bhakti, Anukramishyadi, Bhagavadam. Sadam prasangam mamavirya sambido bhavandihal karna rasayinah kathaha tajyoshanadashu abhavarga varpani shraddha redhi bhakti anukramishwari. Kavilavarshi says into Devahudi Devi. Is it not? So you can see the importance of shraddha. What Krishna has spoken here is there in the Bhagavadam everywhere. That is why it comes at the very end of this Bhagavad Gita. 17th chapter is all about shraddha. We'll discuss after the break.
Yeah, I heard maybe this is difficult to instruct them because it's anything.
The 12-year-old.
Yeah. A lot of these things, tradition comes to the family. Family is where you learn these things. So as much as parents are an example, the children will learn from them that this is how they have performed and they follow it. So, it is difficult today in this modern system because we have all broken the family, right? In the nuclear families, as they call it. Everyone is left home and there. So that tradition, what you get from that traditional way is not happening. And through books and all that, you have to learn, and that won't have the effect, same as when it is passed on in the traditional method. That is why not to put too much faith in the institutions, as the institution cannot help you in all these things. You see? Because this Sanatana Dharma, basic knowledge, has survived in this world through family life. Grahasthashram is very important in that sense. It's an opportunity for children to learn that this is how one should live. Because practical examples are grandparents and grandchildren. They are the ones who have to learn from them. Unfortunately, we are in a difficult world today. Then go and look at the Google, as you say something.
That's more important.
It has become like that, what you do. Yeah.
So she listened to, if I say it's on the Google, then she'll
say
yeah.
Or ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have the paper that you buy. The one you buy.
Something, but I say I'll eat first then I
Thank you guys.
Sorry for last Sunday. Because of our union game. She had 2 days off. Yesterday we go to his studies. She says tired.
She's not used to it.
She's
not used to it.
That's why I complain to you.
No complaint. What do you think?